nurse on this floor, so I guess maybe in the past year. She's been, she moved to the wound ostomy department, but definitely wonderful, wonderful, wonderful nurse, and would always let the students do so much and just really involved in them. I mean, just totally invested. I remember a semester she gave her books to some students, like, this really helped me, you know, with them doing NCLEX and questions and things like that. So, you know, when y'all are at a great place to learn, and so many people around you. I know when you go to the other areas, you get to see that, just, you know, and I try to take advantage of folks like her, you know, and keep good relationship. So, for y'all's sake too. So she's going to be talking to you guys in, about our post conference today, which is ostomies. So you get to hear it firsthand. She could tell it better than I ever could. So,
okay,
all right.
A little background. I've only been in wound ostomy for a year. Previously, before coming to which is now Ochsner, I used to work in wound care. So the ostomy nurses here, we do wound care and we also do ostomy teaching. So it's not just wound care, bed sores and stuff. We do a lot of education. Ostomy teaching starts from the moment of surgery. We are also the nurse, and a lot of hospitals don't do that, but we're the nurses that come in and mark the patient, pre-marking surgical. So we go in, we do a little demographics, mm-hmm. and we have the patient lie down, because you probably won't learn a lot of this. You'll actually see it happening in the hospital, but we have the patients lie down. Everybody knows that the skin looks different when you're lying down versus standing up. You have a flat stomach when you're laying down, and you have a hood sometimes when you're standing up. So what you call the rectus muscle in the stomach. That is a very, very important area to mark, because you don't want your ostomy to retract. So if it's not in that muscle, it has nothing to adhere to on the outside of the skin. This is a practice model, but you know, usually when you have a stomach, it kind of looks something like this. We want it to look beefy red, we don't want it black, we don't want it brown, we want it looking kind of like hamburger meat.
And why?
We want it like that. Because when you have a beefy red stomach, that means you have adequate amount of oxygen going to the intestine. When it's turning black or brown, then the intestines probably are dying. Working on this unit, you have a lot of different cancers, rectal cancer, all kind of gastric cancers and stuff. Those are mainly the patients that end up with ostomies, but that's not the only patients that end up with ostomies. A lot of things that you have to educate your patients on, because everybody knows what a colostomy is, but it's other ostomies. It's such a thing as an ileostomy. The difference between the two is the part of the intestines that is taken out. So if it's an ileostomy, it's usually on the right side, which that's from the smaller intestine. So more of the intestines have to be taken out versus the colostomy that's usually on the left side, and it's a little bit further down. So the difference between, some people don't remember that, but
that's important.
That's very important.
If I tell
this,
you
also a difference in the stool too, right?
Mm-hmm. The stool definitely makes a difference. Most people with a colostomy, their stool is a little bit more formed. Ileostomy is continuously watery, unless they're constipated or something like that, which they hardly get constipated, mm-hmm. but they can get constipated.
Mm-hmm. And you're constantly emptying that.
You're constantly emptying.
Yeah.
So this may be important. I don't know what she's going to ask y'all, mm-hmm. but something that we always educate patients on with ileostomies is hydration. Hydration, hydration. If you think about drinking, drink. Mm-hmm. Even when you don't think about drinking, drink, because your stool is continuously water. It's like having diarrhea. So you have a lot of patients that have ileostomy. They come in and they've been doing so well at home, and then they just get really sick because they're dehydrated. If you're outside sweating, you need to increase your intake of water. Water doesn't just your hydration doesn't just have to be water. It can be popsicles, it can be Gatorade, it can be Powerade, it can be Jell-O, it can be, you know, we don't want a lot of acidic foods like sodas and stuff, because when you're drinking acidic, your stomach already has acid in it. It can irritate the skin. We have a lot of patients that don't protect their skin, so just like a baby with a diaper rash, you can get a rash around your stomach. I'm sure some of you have seen pictures with rashes around the stomach and stuff. That's because the stool is continuously watery and they're not protecting their skin. So those are some important pointers that we always teach our patients. Also, with an ileostomy, we teach our patients that certain foods you eat doesn't digest right because you don't have the long intestines to break that food down or those medications down. So I know everybody probably know what a down home smoked sausage is, right? Mm-hmm. So they can still eat that, but they have to take the skin off because it does not break down. Seeds, they can still eat that, but they're probably going to see it come out the same way. Pills with coatings on it, enteric coating. We usually tell them lifestyle change when you go to the pharmacy. Tell them, I have an ileostomy, so if you can change my medications to liquid versus pills because it does not break down right. Colostomies, you can still eat the same food. It's just like if you go to the restroom 3 times a day, you're probably going to empty your colostomy 3 times a day. The ileostomy, you're going to empty it a lot more because it's continuously leaking. It's continuously going. Everybody's always worrying about smells of ostomies and stuff. The colostomies do tend to have a more potent smell than the ileostomy because it has the enzymes that create that odor. For the ileostomy, usually after the surgery, they may have a little smell too because it has blood and all the stuff else left in the test, but usually after a while, they don't have a smell. They really don't have much of a smell because it hadn't gotten to that bad part of the intestines with all the enzymes and stuff in it. But you just have to be very, very careful with the ileostomy because you can be dehydrated. You can get dehydrated very, very, very fast. So usually when they're in the hospital, we keep them continuously on IV fluids.
So you did say it was more liquidy. She didn't. Mm-hmm. She say that
yes,
more liquidy
the
on one side. And what would like even you talk about consistency, mm-hmm. color mm-hmm. too. So
the ileostomy is usually a lot darker.
The output
is a lot darker. But it also depends on what you eat. So we tell our patients that if you drunk some red Kool-Aid, then you can expect, and don't be scared because it's probably going to come out that same color. If you have some spinach, it's probably going to come out green. But the colostomy is just like going to the we always say the pipes are rerouted. Instead of being in the back, you just move it to the front. Some ostomies are reversible. Mm-hmm. Some people can't have, we've even had patients that have had horrible wounds, like bad stage 4 decubitus, and we contact the doctor and we say, we recommend, because we can't tell them what to do, we recommend a diverting ostomy, which is them going in and, bringing the intestines to the front until we can heal that wound. Because if you're continuously going, or if you don't have most effective to do a fecal management system, then it's not going to heal. So we've had patients that we've had to request that on, and they're really needed. So we try to stay away from that, but we have definitely had to request it for a diet. It's called a diverting ostomy, so where they can reverse it back if needed to. We have some patients with cancer that may have to get that, and then 6 months later, they can reverse it back.
Like they may have a gastrectomy, mm-hmm. a portion of their colon removed, mm-hmm. and to allow for it to heal
yes.
the way it needs to in the inside, they'll just bring a stoma up,
mm-hmm.
And for the inside to heal, rest, and do what it needs to do. And then maybe, 4 or 6 months later, they'll do what we call a takedown,
mm-hmm.
like take it down, anastomosis,
mm-hmm.
and you get to use it
yeah.
the regular way.
And so. Some people always say, okay, yeah. so what happens okay. with the rectum? They do stitch up, yeah. They do stitch up the rectum. However, post-surgery, your intestines are still thinking, hey, this is the rot. So patients sometimes get scared. They may have a little bleeding. They may have some mucus that comes out that has a little brown color, but that's just, what was left in the intestines and stuff. But we want, it to come out this way. But that may last a week or 2. But when they reverse it, then of course that you can reroute it for everything to go down everywhere. But if you don't get reversed, then you won't go. You actually, it's supposed to come out that way.
So you'll never get that stimulation.
Does it just push out of the ostomy on its own?
Yes.
Cool.
The intestines have
it does that.
Okay, so then there's no sphincter.
We tell a lot of our patients that, however, with the colostomies, if you are used to going post every meal, we're probably still going to go post every meal. We just have to with the ileostomy, you have no control over when it comes. Most people, let's say a coffee drinker, we tell them to empty their bag before they start drinking coffee, because coffee is a stimulant.
Yeah.
So it's gonna make you go. So we used to say empty your bag first thing in the morning, eat your breakfast, drink your coffee. You may have to empty it again before you leave the house. Miss Allen has a video that y'all will probably watch, and it's a real life story of living with an ostomy. You know, and it tells you how to empty it, how to care for it. I'm going to demonstrate it as well. But we give this to all our patients when they start taking care of their ostomies. A video to watch. We make them watch the video before they go home. We give them reading material. We give them practice songs and stuff like that. And we try to prepare them. You always have to let your patients know that having an ostomy is a lifestyle change, but it is not the dictation of their life. If you don't want anybody to know that you have an ostomy, you don't have to tell them. All right.
For the surgical procedure of creating ostomy, do they just snip the intestine and sew off the part that does?
What they do is, like I said, when we come in and we do the marking of that muscle, so whatever part is the bad intestines, the tumor, the polyps or whatever it is, they cut that part off. That part is dead, pretty much, or it's no good, put it like that. And they bring it out to the surface of the stomach. I don't have one, but they put, it's like a catheter. They put we call it a red rubber catheter. And they suture that to the stomach to hold it in place until it adheres to the skin. I think I mentioned earlier, it can retract if the tissue, maybe they didn't cut off enough good tissue, and it can die off. We don't want that to happen. That's why we assess the stomach every day. We want a red. We want good circulation. But I've had patients who start getting that yellow sluggy stuff around it. They sometimes have to go back in and revise that stomach.
What about for the reversible, though, where we're not getting rid of the intestine?
They just reroute it to come back to the rectal part. Is that what you're asking?
I guess I'm asking that healthy intestine because you're making it where they're resting part of the intestine.
Uh-huh.
That healthy part of the intestine, are they just closing it somehow? Or
probably cauterize it. I think, I don't know if they maybe kind of cauterize it a little bit. I get what you're saying, but I think, like, if it's a bad piece in the middle, they still leave this good piece at the bottom, and then they take off the bad part in the middle, and then they reroute it back together when it's healed.
Okay, I got you.
Because your intestines are, like, what, 20 feet long? Like, really long.
And then you have the large and the small. Mm-hmm. So, but that's what dictates what type of ostomy you have. Like, if most of your damage is in the large intestines, you're probably going to end up with an ileostomy, because the only thing left is the small intestines, and that's the good intestines. But it could be somewhere in the large intestines, but maybe a little farther down towards the rectum, and you don't know what to pull out.
So it's actually the intestines pulled up through the skin and flipped over.
And intestines do not have a feeling. A lot of people say, oh, it looks like it hurt. It doesn't have a feeling.
I was gonna ask.
It doesn't feel. So you can wipe, you can clean, you know, it might hurt around the skin to them, but the intestines itself doesn't feel. You can wet it, you can soap it, you can do whatever you need to do to it. It doesn't have a feeling. We always talk to the patients, like I say, the main thing is nutrition, hydration, lifestyle changes. We have all kind of things. It goes so deep. We have all kind of equipment that they can order from girdles to, it's some athletes, can't think of his name, but he's a bicyclist. he has a company. Nobody knew that he had an ostomy. But it's a lot of people that walk around every day with ostomies that you'll never know. And that, you know, some of them are spokespersons for a lot of our companies, and some of them, you know, they'd rather not talk about it. But when you all get more into your subject and stuff, everything will kind of come together. A lot of people have their ways of applying an ostomy appliance, but some things create issues along the line. Like some people say, put the paste on the barrier. All that does is lift up off the skin, and that's what causes a lot of leakage. I had a patient Friday that hadn't had any problems with pouching or anything like that, and I think I changed her pouch 6 times in 2 hours. She kept leaking. Because when you have an ileostomy, your weight changes. So even though she was bigger when she had her surgery, so she's lost a lot of weight, but she still has a lot of adipose tissue. So she has folds and dimples and, you know, everything. So that is always a problem that we end up running into, because you try to pouch them where there's no crease. So whenever we look at the rectus muscle, we try to go 2 inches outside or 2 inches up or something like that. We try to stay within that circuit board. That's what we call it, a circuit board, which is like this. We try to stay within there, 2 inches out, you know, and we try to put the stomach maybe here, maybe closer to the belly button or whatever. But you also got to look at folds and creases and all that stuff there, because if you got a big roll here, I can't pouch you there. You're going to have a hard time applying that pouch, because you're going to have to pull your skin up. It's going to fold. So then if you have a fold here, I'm going to try to go up and put it here. So that's why we usually have us come in, because we think about that. We have had patients that in an emergency situation, let's say they have a rupture or something, and they got a rush road on the surgery, but they don't have time to page the wound ostomy nurses to get here to mark and teach and stuff like that. So it sometimes is wherever they can get it at, we just have to work with it once it's there. We always hope that they don't do it the wrong way, but it does happen. When you do have patients with ostomies, like I say, it's more than just teaching them how to change a bag. It's mental, because this is a lifestyle change. Like, a lot of people don't accept that. It's like, yeah, it's a lifestyle change. Some people go through major depression. Coping skills. As you're a nurse and you're teaching this patient about their ostomy, you gotta pay attention to that. If they don't wanna look down at it, they're probably not accepting the fact that they have an ostomy. So coping skills. We try to encourage them. We let them watch me. We try to bring family members in. We try to bring children in. We try to teach them how to help take care of this ostomy, because even though we're helping you, this is your ostomy. You're going home. You have to take care of this. But like I said, coping skills is a huge, huge thing. But we look at certain corners, like when we document, we say the patient won't even look at us. The patient won't look down at stuff like that. So who knows about pouching the ostomy?
Anyone ever experienced or changed an ostomy?
I had a student that had one.
Okay.
She had a ileostomy. Because it was liquidy coming out. I remember that. And she had to go to the bathroom in my class like almost every time to empty.
Uh-huh.
And it's really active at certain times of the day, depending on what you eat, or, you know, we just try to always talk to them about their medication, their hydration. Hydration, if you don't remember anything else about an ileostomy, hydration and nutrition. Those are the two main important things that we always have to drill in our patients, because you can come in and it can send you into kidney failure. You know, it can send you into a lot of different things that you didn't have at first. Hydration and nutrition. That's important. So, got a stoma. And this is a pouch. These are newer pouches. Usually, so somebody invented this. I think it was the guy that was the bicyclist. This is going to be called like a raincoat, but some people don't like to see their own poop. You know, so usually you see the clear bag.
Yeah.
But this has, we call it a raincoat. Most of them, that's a urostomy bag, but it kind of looks like this at first, and then you have the clamp at the bottom. But then we also do urostomy bags too. People that have bladder cancer, and they have to get in. Their stomach looks just like a colostomy bag. but
it's just over their bladder.
Uh-huh, it's just over their bladder. Yeah. Their patches usually are like this at the bottom. So I couldn't find one at first. I was going to cut this, but I mean, it looks just like it's just the bottom parts. These are our newer products that the hospital is doing, but we call these the knee hole bags. But most of them have this raincoat on the back because, as far as coping, some patients they say, I just don't like looking at it. And that's okay, because I mean, that's your preference. So usually it's clear. You have several different types of pouches. You have one piece pouches, you have 2-piece pouches, you have cut the fit pouches. So we're not going to get all off into that because it's really complicated. You have to see what works best for your patient. I use it like the one piece.
Yeah, and by the pieces, it just comes like this is
just one
this
piece.
Is a detachment, and then the bag is another attachment. Yeah. And then
we call this like a flange. You put it on the skin, and it has like a bear around it, and you just clamp it on there.
Yeah, like a little snap.
Yeah. But this is what we call a one piece. It's just one whole piece. A lot of patients like the one piece, some like the 2 pieces. But if you have any rolls or folds or something, you need a one piece. You need something that's going to fit with you. So, because the flange just has the hard barrier, so it doesn't bend, and then you have leakage. So, this is my stoma. And we always teach them, you got to measure your stoma, because everybody's stoma is a different size. Some people's stoma can be this big. Some can be this small. You have to tell your patients that post-surgery is going to change. So you may measure it at 2 centimeters the first time, and then 3 weeks from then, it's 1 1/4 centimeters. It changes because the swelling is going down. So we tell them, measure your stoma. Okay, so we put it on there. We see which works best. We measure it. Okay, that's too small. That's a perfect fit. I don't want anything perfect to fit because I don't want to strangulate my stoma. So if you cut it too tight, it's tight around that stoma, you can make that tissue die. So we usually tell them to cut it bigger than your stoma. So this stoma perfect fit is 38 millimeters, and it's not usually numbers on the back like 1 1/4 and stuff. But I usually tell my patients, cut it just a little bit bigger because we gotta put our paste in powder. So we can either go that size, or we can even go the biggest size. So we don't want it because this was the perfect fit here. We don't want it the perfect fit. So let's just say we're gonna go the biggest size. All pouches, and I'll let y'all pass it around. This is what I mean with like 1 3/4 and stuff like that. All of them have numbers on there. So when whatever your measuring guide says, that's what you need to cut it in. All our home skills kits have scissors in them, markers, so they can mark where they need to cut in and stuff. We always tell our patients that when we give them this checklist, this skills kit, we like to give them the scissors with the curve because you don't want them to poke a hole in the bag. So we always like put our finger through and make it stick out some like this. Just put our finger through like this and then we'll, because this curves with them. A lot of them have a lot of dexterity issues, arthritis. They can't cut in like a straight line, so the scissors kind of help guide them. Some people like all their pouches cut before they, like they'll open up their whole box and cut their pouches. So all they gotta do is just stick it on there when they're in and out the door. Some people may need help. You may have to cut that pouch for their patient. Let's say if you're doing home help or something, you have a patient with ostomy. Before you leave there, you may have to cut all their pouches so they can be able to do their thing because their fingers, they can't cut. So. Of course, y'all know this is the clamp that usually goes on the end. We have ones with the clamps, and then we have some with the Velcro. This one has the Velcro.
Show us about the clamp.
The clamp.
Can you use this?
Yes.
That one doesn't have
This has the Velcro on the end, but most of the bags are just like this at the bottom. You just take the clamp. It's like a bolted. This is the top part, and you just take this. And a lot of patients have a hard time doing this, and then you just push down. And you hear that snap? It's used like that. This clamp doesn't go on this bag, so that's why it looks like that.
So you don't have to fold it.
You don't have to fold it. A lot of people like to fold it and do that. I just think that's a little extra you can practice on the clamp. Most of the clamps are really simple. It's just one little clamp, but that's not the bag for the clamp. most of the floors usually have the old bags, but I guess they supply them with the newer bags. And I can bring you an old bag. I have an old bag upstairs. I should have brought it with me, but I knew they had this stuff. And also the patients, they have a lot of dexterity issues. They won't bury the plant. So they'll need somebody to help them. You know, they may struggle with them. So that's another part of assessing. Before they leave the hospital, we want them to know how to apply their pouch, empty their pouch, clean their skin, clamp their pouch. We look at all that before we say they are free for discharge. Working in wound ostomy, we've had doctors say, oh, this patient's ready to go home. And then we step in and say, no, they're not. They have to go home with an ostomy. And they don't know how to care for this ostomy. So we need 3 more days. So, I mean, it's a lifestyle change. So, okay, so let's say my patient, I'm gonna cut their ostomy to
'Cause
you can draw or you can just remember the number, but some patients do draw on there.
So you could take that
and hold it against that.
Draw your circle, you know, the outline.
Just say, okay, if I wanted it halfway there, I can just take this marker and say, okay, I want to cut right here. That's why I want to cut. So that's why we put the markers in there for people that maybe don't see as well or something like that, but you all saw the numbers there. So this my co-worker calling me or not. But you just take it. That's not her. Just cut around. And usually we do the first cut and we even give them this pattern. But you see how the scissors are helping me go around in a circle? So that's why we give the patients these type of scissors. We try to give them extra and everything. And when I say we give them the pattern, because if they want to get another pouch and say, okay, well, my nurse put it here, so I just follow this pattern. So we usually throw that in the box and let them keep it. Prepping the skin. Okay, so I got a pouch on here, and I take it off. The skin's dirty. Got paste all over all that there. Once again, the stoma does not have a filter. You can clean the skin with soap and water. You can get the soap out the room. They can use whatever soap they want to use and clean their skin. That skin needs to be squeaky clean for your paste, for your powder, for your feces, all of that.
Can they shower, like get in the shower?
They can get in the shower. Okay. They can take their pouch off and clean their skin. But
they
need to make sure that they free the skin of oil. Like some soaps have oils in it, like Dove, they have oil in it. So you may bathe your whole body with Dove, but when it's time to apply your pouch, if it has an oil in it, it won't stick that way. So we tell them to make sure you wipe your stomach off, maybe get another like a Dial, antimicrobial or something like that to clean around it real good and make sure you get all the oil base off of it. Some people use baby oil to get the paste and powder out of it. Okay, well you don't want oil on it. So after you do that, then you gotta clean the skin real good.
Can they take baths?
These 3 things. No sting barrier spray. I'm sorry, in my pocket. No sting barrier spray. Stoma powder and stoma paste. These 3 things are important because that is going to make your pouch stick. Like I said earlier, a lot of people want you to put the paste on the back of this pouch. All it does is lift up your barrier when it gets soiled. So we don't put it on the back of the barrier strip. So this is my stomach. I've cleaned it off real good. I've got all the paste and powder off. I'm gonna spray it. This does not sting. It's called no sting barrier spray. It's like silicone or saran wrap for your skin.
Okay.
Y'all can spray it on your skin, it won't do anything. So we spray it around it real good, make sure, let it dry. And you may know something about this. You ever heard of coughing a window pane?
Yes.
Like, okay, we all know too. I'm sorry, I don't mean to pick on the one male, but coughing a window pane, it's almost like baking a cake with the dough and the powder. You don't want your dough sticky, so you gotta put flour on it, right? To roll it and stuff like that. You kinda do the same thing with the paste and the powder. So I sprayed the skin, I made it good and dry. The paste is almost like toothpaste. So you remember I cut the pouch a little bit bigger because I said I want the paste and powder around there. So this is a stoma. You just take that paste and you go right around that stoma. I'm gonna let y'all do this too. But you go right around it, just like this. Put as much on it as you want to, but just make sure all the way around. Okay, well now it's sticky, so nothing's gonna stick to it. So then you take your powder, just bake it. Start molding it. Of course you're gonna have gloves on, but you just start molding. And this is a protection for your skin around there. We do that as a protection around there so that stool and that acid does not sit on the skin and create a breakdown. So sorry y'all. But any excess powder, we have to of course dust it off of there and stuff. So what we're doing, we're creating a barrier around the stone so it doesn't break down.
So this doesn't stick. This doesn't help it to stick.
No.
The powder, that's why we
did powder
it bigger.
Helps to mold it. Gotcha. You're basically creating a mold. Okay. We also have Eakin rings that are paste and powder already together. It's just real sticky.
So we cut it bigger so we had space
so
for that?
So you have space for that. Because okay. You do not want the stool breaking the skin down. So and get rid of your excess powder. You can spread it. Get rid of all of that. All that excess powder there. I always remember to take off the adhesive on the back. A lot of people don't think about that. They say, my pouch isn't sticky. Well, you probably didn't take the tape off. So, and then I wish I had the sink in there. And we always tell them, hold it there for a couple of seconds. Your body warms up the paste in the pot. So you can just sit there and talk to them about the grandkids or whatever. And then you just sit there. Or you can put their hand on top. So they'll get used to it. Just tell them to hold it just like that. It's on their stomach, so they're just sitting there holding it, and that's helping it stick. If we had a clamp, always make sure that you clamp it, because we've had patients come up here and they're like, my pouch keeps leaking. Had a patient coming from the clinic, and as she's walking, it's a trail right behind her. She forgot to put the clamp on. You remember to do all this stuff here, but then you forget the clamp. That's important.
So about how many seconds or a minute?
Maybe 10, 15 seconds. You can do a full minute. It depends on if they're having issues with leakage and stuff. So like my lady, I told her I changed 6 times. We stood there for about 5 minutes and held it, and she still continued to leak.
Oh,
so yeah. Okay. So when she stood up and her stomach changed, mm-hmm. One side opened up on the side. So we always
like
patients.
You don't have anything to help it. Only this helps it stick well.
And then the body.
Yeah.
So of course you have adhesive on that. Like this isn't going anywhere now. It's on the cardboard. But yeah, usually just hold it. I'm gonna let y'all practice on.
And that doesn't irritate their skin.
No, that's a barrier. That's a barrier that helps protect their skin. Always in this is protective. It's a protective barrier and filter. Same thing on this. It's just to keep it absorbs moisture. So all that helps their skin.
Right.
And then this, of course, is like a silicone. Like I can spray this on my skin, let it dry. And it's literally like saran wrap. You kind of see it dry and just rub your hand on my skin. You feel that?
Yeah.
So it just, it's like saran wrap.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, so we use that with wounds and everything. It's just like a barrier. It's literally like saran wrap for your skin. So.
Yeah. Seriously. I wish
okay.
We had the clear one. Like
uh-huh.
We had
100 years. Yeah, I know. I'll go get you one.
Oh, you can pull
and then,
up the
then,
back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Pull up the top five.
And the doctors do that. They'll open it up and stuff. But I'll go get you
but this was
the regular
one.
But a lot more of them are going to the. Oh, this is important too. This little thing here is a filter. So you know.
Oh, good. Yes. What size is it?
How often are they putting
on? Okay, so that's a great question. Because a lot of people think they have to change their pouch every day.
Right.
I have to change the pouch every day. We say 3 to 4 days. But if it leaks or if it's just missing, take it off. It's not put a new one on. If it's leaking, there's no sense in putting more paste on trying to make it stick because it's going to start leaking somewhere else. But 3 to 4 days is what we usually say. Some people have worn theirs for 7 days, and I think that's disgusting. They have done it. And I mean, especially if you're running low on supplies. So even before our patients go home, we get the insurance information. If they don't have insurance, we set up some sort of funding for them because that's a lifestyle change. We have patients that come up there now and say, hey, my insurance didn't send my pouches this week. I mean, we have people that donate pouches to us. And we give them a whole box. That's a 30-day supply until they can get done whatever it is, if they switch jobs, because some people still work normal life. It's young people with ostomies. We have babies with ostomies. My supervisor right now is at St. Mary's, 4-day-old baby with an ileostomy. She was premature, born at 28 weeks, and she has an ileostomy. It may cost the universe on down the line, 6 months or so down the line, but she could possibly live with it. We have babies, and I wish I had my little teddy bear, because we have a little kangaroo teddy bear that we teach the moms about, because theirs is really small, like that small. So we teach them about that, and I mean, when I came into nursing, you know, you say, well, I want to work in this department. When I was in nursing school, I'm a meal rider, so I'm a SAE. And when I went to nursing school, everybody was like, oh, she's going to be a labor and delivery nurse. I was just good at labor and delivery. I never want to be a labor and delivery nurse. But I just don't like it. But you find your niche, you know, and I always thought I would go here, I would go there. My first job here is on this floor in oncology. I fell in love with it, and it was my passion. I stayed down here for 7 years. And then, even working in colonoscopy, I still see some of the same patients. It's still cancer-related, because most people that have ostomies have some sort of cancer or something like that. But, I mean, it's just building on the education. So, having the chemo background and the cancer background, it just better than that. You'll have to have it all over the place. So, the main thing I can tell you about the ostomy, the main thing about having a ileostomy is always consider what that patient is like. Because, you know, nobody likes getting an ostomy. You know, you can't stereotype because you don't know the story behind it. You have some people that have diverticulitis, bones, all kind of stuff like that. Well, they didn't choose that. So, I mean, they've had so many short bowel good. You know, they've had so many surgeries and they, you know, have lost over half of their intestine. They may have that much intestine. So they get big and they're always in the hospital getting hydration. Because no matter how much they drink, they're still going, they're always dehydrated. Who wants to live like that? So
Watch the lady change hers on YouTube, and she had like colorful floral and polka dot covers and stuff for her bag.
I always tell our patients also to name your hospital. Like name it, because that's a part of culture. So my patient upstairs, she calls hers. I'm not going to tell you what she called it first. She calls it Mr. Pickles now. She used to call it. She didn't make that. She was mad. Oh, she was mad. But now it's Mr. Pickles. So she's cold. So yeah, that's what she called it first. She would be. Every time I would go see her, she's laying there, she's laid on it, and it's leaking. So she had a hard time, you know, dealing with it. She's only 40-something. So, I mean, but it happened. And she had polyps. She has over 200-some polyps all through her intestine. So you just wake up one day, and, hey, you got to have an ostomy. So you always, if you don't have a passion for it, do not go into it. Because it is trying. Because sometimes you're going to cry with your passion. You know, they may have a car accident. We have patients that had car accidents and they steering wheel or airbag hit their stomach. Okay, well now they got issues in there. They've had all kind of issues. They wake up with a wound back, stomach wide open, and an ostomy sitting there. So you got a 21-year-old boy that wrecked this car and hit a tree and then had some sort of damage here. Hey, Brittany, how are you? Had some sort of damage here and then now he got an ostomy. Well, he has no understanding why you're standing over here saying, hey, I'm here to teach you about your ostomy. So he's angry. So I got to come back the next day and try to coach him into learning about going home with this because this is permanent. So you gotta be strong. And I mean, most of our patients, when they leave here, they're thanking us because they remember waking up from trauma surgery and They got bags and drains, and because we do wound bags, we do all the stuff we do. Everything you name, we do pretty much. We still work the floor every time. It's a lot. It's a lot. But all it does, it teaches you. It teaches you, like, it's fun to me going in SICU and trauma, and you have gunshot wounds, and you got car accidents, and you got all this stuff. We do wound bags, we do fistulas. I don't know, that's something y'all can look up, fistulas. And a lot of people, they don't think about that. A lot of people, they have all these abdominal surgeries, and bariatric surgery, and weight loss surgery and stuff. They don't think about it, but it creates fistulas. And we have to pouch those fistulas. We have a wound manager, I can go on and on, but we have a wound manager system that we have to pouch some kind of ostomy and a fistula together. Our patient had an ileostomy and her cervical site didn't heal, kept leaking, so she had a fistula on the inside. So she got leakage coming from here and she got an ostomy coming from here. So I have to contain it and protect her skin at the same time. So we have to put the paste, the powder, all this different stuff, but she has this big bag that she has to wear over her ostomy until that fistula closes up, if it ever will close up. Because sometimes it tracks. It'll close up here and open up here.
It tracks.
Rectal fissures. We've had pararectal fissures. We had all kind of, and I never thought I would love that, but I love doing fissures. When we have fissures, gunshot wound, whatever, I go down there. I don't care what it is. I had a man that had some sort of abdominal surgery. I don't even know, he wasn't even my patient, but his whole stomach was open, just like a water hose, just shooting out everywhere. That's part of the job. But ostomies are definitely, like I say, a lifestyle change. They are, but you have to be able to help that patient cope. That's the main thing, coping. So, if y'all want to practice pouching, y'all can take all this with y'all. But I got to bring you the clear one.
Okay.
With the clamp.
Well, do y'all have any questions? Y'all been asking along the way, anything you could think of for Ms. Shemika?
She had a good question. She asked, how often do you change the pouch? Because everybody thinks that you change it every day, 3 to 4 days. So like I say, some people do it 7 days, but we just tell them to empty it, and like the colostomy, you have to sometimes fold it back, clean it out, rinse it out. We'll give them syringes to kind of squirt up in there and clean it out, but you don't have to change it every day. Some people want to change it every day. Some people, I've had a patient ran out of pouches and he got a Walmart bag sitting there to hold. I mean, he ran out. So I told him, we fund this hospital, funds. A lot of hospitals don't, but we fund
we take
a
care.
Lot of, yes.
Yeah, like
they call us, they page all day long. They page and they say, hey, you got a patient up here on 10 that needs some supplies. So we have to give them supplies. If they're having an issue, if they're at home, they say, I got a wound that's coming right here underneath my stomach because it's been staying so wet. We have to treat that wound, and we have to tell them what to do at home. Every time you change your pouch, you need to pack it with this, you know. So it's a lot of things that comes with it post surgery. You're not going to just have just an easy pouch and then they go home and you never see them again. Sometimes you end up seeing them for almost every day. So
yeah, I have a quick question. I've heard, like you said, and other people talk about rinsing it. Mm-hmm. If it's attached to their body, are they using a syringe to rinse it?
Yeah. They even have this thing online that's like a bulb, and it has a little hook. My patient showed me. I didn't even know about it, but she said she had been online before she had her surgery, Googled it. It has a little small bulb, and I think you can only put about 10 cc's of water in there. And just squirt it up in there, rinse it out, wipe it out, put the clamp back on there, and let it stick. But we suggest 3 to 4 days.
Okay.
So we'll send them home with a month's supply worth of, so they may be 20, 25 pouches. And then when we send them home, we set them up with a company called Epic. And they usually contact them and then send them the pouches right to the front door. So, you know, whatever address you're going to be staying at, they send them there. But if you run out, you can always call us and come up here and get some more. One important thing we always tell our patients is, do not leave home without a travel kit. Each company will send you a little travel package, because when you come up to these doctor's appointments, you don't know if your pouch is gonna leak. And they come to us sometimes crying because that's embarrassing.
Nursing diagnosis wise, what do you think about with a patient
risk for impaired skin.
Skin integrity. What else? So you, okay, so skin, what else?
Ineffective coping.
There's a body image one. Impaired body image.
Body image disturbance.
Disturbed body image, that's what it is.
So you can think about that, you know, and we have to be very sensitive as nurses about the emotional state, you know, mental state of people emotionally, you know, along with the physiological part of it. You know, you may have a lady who's embarrassed to have sex now. So then you've got that you've got to think about, like, you know, is he going to desire me anymore? And I've got this here going, you know, and they have little things for that where you can put something over it and look cute, little lingerie or whatever.
Intimacy garments.
And all of that.
Where you can place the pouch in there, but they even have the lingerie.
It's just something to think about. And you have to not be embarrassed to have that conversation with your patient. You just go all in. Now I'm going to ask you some personal questions about your sexual history, you know, or if there are any issues that you have. Think about your questions. And sometimes if you come at them too fast, it's like, you know, think about what questions you might have, and we'll revisit it towards the end, you know, just to give them a little time to digest it. Okay, she came at me with what I've been thinking about all the time. So men and women, you have to think about those things and have that discussion and help them to deal with it. So all those nursing diagnoses are just, you know, good. So, you know, a big thing too is that that whole acceptance piece before they leave, because you heard her say 3 days. No, they're not ready to go now. They need 3 more days. 3 more days for what? Insurance say you gotta get out of here. No, this is important because you got to accept what's going on here. And sometimes patients don't even want to look down. They're not ready for this. And so you have to think about you as a nurse, how comfortable you have to be. You know, where if you're changing somebody's stoma, you're not like, fix your face, get your mind right.
You gotta put a mask on.
Yeah.
It's okay to do that, but you know, like, we try to make the patient feel comfortable.
Definitely okay to do it now.
You never know what you're doing behind your mask.
You have to be mindful. You gotta get your eyes fix look your like. Face, like, you know. Or how often you have to change the ileostomy. And the output of it could be like 200, 300 cc's, like I just emptied it like an hour ago or 2 hours ago, and it's just constantly putting out. It's in an area of the body where absorption is just about to start taking place, so it's just not in, you know, it's just not in a good area, you know, you've got that.
That's another thing. Sometimes you tell the patients, if you've noticed a change in your, like a decrease in emptying, that's important. And an increase sometimes could mean infection. If you're running a fever and you're, it's like diarrhea.
So
all of those things. I think this was really, really good.
Thank you so much.
I had a really good teacher.
Oh my goodness. Margaret, Miss Bell. Oh my goodness. The ladies here, it's their life. It's what they do. And Miss Margaret is so
most of my ostomy patients have my cell phone.
Serious.
Like they do because I have one. They just called me before I came down here. Like, you have to put your heart into it. You have to, like, on the weekend. I don't work on the weekend, but I've had a patient, me and Ms. Bill both had a patient that had an emergency. They didn't have any supplies, they was crying, you know, stuff like that. Sometimes, off the record, you shouldn't do it. I'm gonna pack up and I'm gonna drive to Lake Biscuit because that's my patient. And if they're calling me, then they need me, you know, and they may just need a simple, you know, fix or something. But I try to give my patients my number so they know that I'm still here. Like, when we tell them when they leave, you don't just lose your ostomy nurse. I'm still your ostomy nurse. When you're discharged, you don't not have a nurse to call when you're having a problem. So.
Yeah, it is. And nursing is from the heart. I don't know why y'all got into this, but hopefully, I'm looking dead. No, I'm just kidding. No, I pick up on why you got into this. But, I look at the wall. Whatever reason he got into this field, you know, hopefully even with your clinical experience that you'll learn the heart of nursing, what it's really about, that it really is patient-centered care. It is patient-centered, and it changes you as a person. And I'll tell anybody, you know, nursing is so vast and it goes in so many. Before you're unhappy and bitter and be that nurse on the unit making everybody else pissed that they came to work, because you may just move around, go somewhere else, do something else, because it's so many areas that you can work in. And it's totally okay. And that's the beauty of nursing. But it's a matter of the heart, because you're where no one else is, where family may not be, where the doctor may not be, you are as the nurse. So, and it definitely takes a special person to do wound ostomy. And we've got treasures. We've got three treasures, three awesome ladies here at this hospital that literally don't mind coming to your house. And I know that personally. It is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Just the heart that they have for their patients. So y'all get a chance to, we're gonna get back to what we're doing, and then, cause you gotta go to where you need to.